Hello, and welcome to our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2025 in partnership with Agria, covering all the key life stages that our horses will go through. Today, we are spoiling you with a double whammy of podcasts focused on young horses and how we can give them the best start to their ridden career. First up, we are going to explore how you can develop your training in a way that supports your young horse's physical development and overall well-being. And joining me to discuss this is Dr. Russell McKechnie-Guire, who has a PhD in equine biomechanics from the Royal Veterinary College. Alongside running Centaur Biomechanics, Russell is part of British Equestrian's team of world-class programme sport science practitioners and sits on our scientific advisory group. Because he is incredibly busy, he also sits on the Society of Master Saddlers scientific advisory group, is a BHSI coach, and in his spare time, a keen competitor in dressage and show jumping. Welcome, Russell.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to come and have a chat with you.
We are absolutely delighted to have you. So let's dive right into this. If we're talking about producing young horses in a way that's going to promote a long-term soundness, a happy athlete who's going to have hopefully a very nice long ridden career without too many problems, what are your top tips for that? What should we be trying to do when we're thinking about that training?
Yeah, I think before we get to the training part, we've got to just peel back and just talk about the management part too. And for me, a lot of the benefits that come later in life is how we start our young horses. And you've probably already heard from other presenters. But for example, having the young horses out in the field, being able to trot, walk, trot, canter, gallop, play with their friends. And from a physical and mental perspective, I think that really sets up the young horse for the future and does indeed promote the long-term, hopefully the long-term soundness and athletic capacity that the horse has, and you know, creating that happy all-rounded athlete. But in terms of, you know, specifically the top tips for training, producing a young horse, I think one of the things we have to be really mindful of is not to go too quick too soon, and that is something that I think people are aware of, but when we consider the growth plates, for example, in a horse and when they fuse, and you look at the age at that when that occurs, and you know, in the more upper segments of the spine, it occurs, you know, quite considerably older than perhaps people think it is. So I think we must just be careful that we definitely don't start the horses too soon, and certainly don't go too quick. However, we do want to start conditioning young horses at an earlier age. And I think there's this belief that the conditioning has to be done ridden. And that is not not the case. You can do in-hand exercise, postural exercises. So my top tips would be to work as a team, work with your equine sports science team, and look at the individual horse, and assuming that the horse is out at pasture with his friends and has had that all-round starting point, then talk with your team as to what's appropriate for that horse. But I would certainly, like with our own young horses, and we have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they would definitely be doing, I call it the gym program, where they're out in the arena doing their various pole work exercises, postural exercises. And that's all part of a conditioning program to help prepare them for ridden exercise. And as I say, for me, the key thing is to not go too quickly. You know, the more you do, the slower you go, but be mindful what sort of exercise you're doing. So for example, would you ride a young horse every day, 7 days a week? No. Would that be appropriate? Absolutely not. But could he go and do a variety of things in hand ridden work, ground schooling exercises? That would be more appropriate for a young horse. And then I think my other top tip for people is to surround themselves with people that have worked with young horses before. And really, one of the things I think we have to be mindful of is the young horse hasn't read the manual. So, you know, when you're starting to work and train a horse, it's really important that the horse is not confused. And I do see that quite a lot, that horses are just like, what do you want? And with that, the riders can be confused at what they should be doing with a young horse. Mm-hmm. And that really does set up a potential for real, you know, conflict behaviours, undesirable outcomes for the rider, or the horse just isn't doing it. And for me, I say maybe the horse is just confused at what you're asking. So my real top tip is, you know, putting the management aside, which is also really important, but is absolutely surround yourself with people and a trainer and coach that can guide you on this journey. It's a pretty long, it's a really long journey, and sometimes I think riders could be motivated to not necessarily take shortcuts, but question, should I be progressing this? Am I doing the right thing? And I think they can get a lot of confidence from actually working with their coach and trainer who has experience with young horses.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point, that particularly around using the practitioners around you, because I'm guessing also having, say, a physio or a, you know, equine bodywork or something like that is going to help you pinpoint if there are areas that your horse is maybe a little bit weaker or is overdeveloping or something like that, or he's again not moving evenly and working through both sides of his body.
And I think that's really important, you know, going back to my working as a team, you know, all the young horses, once they come into ridden exercise or start their ridden journey, for me, need to be assessed by the equine team. They've probably had a level of assessment already, but particularly, like you say, the physio identifying if there's any musculoskeletal asymmetries, locomotor asymmetries. And of course, we know horses have a laterality, they have an asymmetry. Our job is trying to bring as close to zero as possible symmetry. And so working with the team, they can set up a program. But just to reiterate, that program doesn't necessarily mean riding. There's a lot that can be done in the stable with the carrot exercises, activations, postural work with some tail pulls, sternal lifts, croup reflexes, and of course then going into the arena and doing other things like pole work exercise. So I think it's so important to, as I say, surround that horse with wrap that horse up with a team of professionals that can guide you.
And do you find that young horses will develop at a similar rate, or will some be sort of ready for this much sooner than others, or, you know, will some of them, both physically and mentally, I guess?
Yeah. And I think this is the absolute key bit. There is no textbook. Everything I'm saying is just a guide. You read different books and journal articles, it'd be a guide. What we have to do is take the individual horse that is in front of us and build a program for that horse, because horses will develop at different rates, and you know, within their body it's developing at different rates. How many of our horses do we see, oh, they're uphill and all of a sudden the croup's gone up and you're like, oh, it's changing its posture. So the horse is going through so many biological changes, and it'd be wrong to say, well, at week one you should be doing this, week two, week three you're doing that. The horse has to be at the center. And again, I come back to the team around that horse guiding you, but the horse must be at the center, and you progress exercise as the horse is developing, but be mindful that you may need to go back a step from a physical and, of course, a mental perspective. How is the horse responding, reacting, interacting with what's being asked? And I do come back to that confusion state that I think as riders, and as you've already introduced, I'm a rider and coach myself, and you know, we have a duty to safeguard the horse and look at all of those factors. And if we feel that the horse is getting confused, we have to ask why. Is it my input, or is actually the exercise or the workload becoming challenging that the horse is saying, hey, this is just a little bit harder for me, so can I just take a step and do something else?
And this is probably a really good point to flag yesterday's podcast that we did with Brad Hill, and one of the things we covered in that was equine learning theory. So there's some really great tips in that, if you are kind of at this point in your training, how to build that slowly in a way that will help your horse understand what you're asking for him. And you will find that episode wherever it was that you found this one, wherever it is you're getting your podcasts, or via the British Equestrian website. So one of the things we kind of we'll see, particularly with some of the more sort of sporty young horses, is that they can have this quite big, flashy movement, or if they're jumping, they can do these great big leaps, and they've got a lot of natural talent and natural ability. How can we balance that with sort of what you said about the fact that this process should be very slow, very drawn out, and the physical limitations of a young body?
Yeah, and I think again, this is having those sort of horses is athletically pleasing because mm-hmm. you see these horses moving. But again, we have to be careful of ourselves that we don't get join into that and take advantage of the horse's natural athleticism. I think this is something that is perhaps not something that we really understand so much, that if you've got a horse that is really athletic, to actually again go slower but keep it simple. The horse again hasn't read the manual of I've got to do XYZ, so he's, whilst his body may be athletic, the mental learning is not established, so he still has to go through the ABC and learn things. So I would just be very, very cautious at running before one can walk and keeping the exercises and the training simple, and in some ways turning down the athleticism because that's natural and that can come out later on. But for example, just establishing the basics, like I say, rhythm, suppleness, connection, contact, and making sure that you don't get high on all of the athleticism that could then overload the horse, and then cause other challenges later in life. But of course, we also got to protect the horse's well-being and mental state too. And too much information training coming in exposed to the horse could cause other issues down the way. So I think my top tip there is just take your time, protect the natural ability of the horse and the balance, but do take your time. Again, we talked a moment ago about the supporting team. These big moving horses, whilst they may look athletically pleasing, you also could see that they are actually quite unstable, and those horses actually really benefit from a conditioning program with the physios, veterinary team, to help try and stabilize the horse so it can control and coordinate itself with the big movement. And so again, not to really repeat myself, but to not over just join in with the horse. Oh, it's a really big mover, let's go and really go for that big movement. Almost turn it down, but look at other ways to stabilize the horse, to strengthen the horse, because those big moving horses can be actually quite unstable.
And you mentioned there about sort of overloading the horse and having problems down the line. What are some of the problems we could be looking at?
Well, of course, the soft tissue, horses need to be conditioned. When we think of our soft tissues, we don't want to have any soft tissue injuries that could result from overload injuries or repetitive strains. So that would be the primary concern. The other one is, of course, we're loading the horse's back that potentially hasn't been developed to manage the load from the rider, which we'll talk about in a moment. So again, just does the horse end up with other challenges, back dysfunction? So I suppose really it's a dysfunction of the locomotor system that we're trying to prevent that could occur as a result of overloads. If you think every stride the horse takes, there's a force, a ground reaction force. If you're, increasing that, can therefore have an effect on the horse's body. And again, you mentioned about jumping. And we know that the forces when the horses are landing, are higher, considerably higher than that of canter when the fence gets to 90 to a meter. So if you think about increasing those loads on landing repetitively in a young horse, how does the horse respond to that? And that's the concern. And what we don't want to do is to reach a threshold where there's a failure of the soft tissues because the loads have exceeded that threshold.
Now, one of the areas I know you've done a lot of work is in saddles being the interface between the horse and the rider. And I think there's a lot of tendency when people are starting to produce young horses to just sling a saddle on them that they've had in the back or whatever they've been able to get cheap. Now, why could that be causing problems, and why is it so important that the tack we're choosing for our young horses fits them correctly?
Yeah, the really good question. And this is an area I'm really passionate about. the young horse, let's take the horse that's just been introduced to exercise and it's about to have the rider mount the load the back. And up until that point, the back has never been loaded in a vertical direction. And I haven't shown this with a study, but I hypothesize that when the back is loaded for the first time, the horse has an extending effect. I don't know if this is the case, but, you know, because it's not been conditioned for loading generally. So I wonder, my scientific question is if the saddle doesn't fit, we know that that induces high pressure beneath the saddle. So if we combine that with a back that has never been loaded, I wonder what is the horse's initial response. So if it is indeed that it goes into mild extension and then there's high pressures as a result of the rider or the saddle being loaded by the rider, I wonder what long-term effect does that have on the horse? And that's something I really want to explore scientifically. Without that knowledge, we know that saddle design fit can have a significant effect on saddle pressures. When you combine that to a young horse that hasn't been conditioned, then I think we can reasonably assume that that's going to have an effect. I personally feel that the young horse should be fitted with a saddle that is correctly fitted for that young horse. And I hear it all the time. Well, I just want to put that old saddle that's on the top shelf covered in cobwebs on because in case the horse sits, falls over or does so. And to me, that's nonsense. You know, the horse should be prepared sufficiently that that's not going to happen, because I would question why is the horse going to be ridden at that point if that's still a risk? And if it's done correctly, that really shouldn't be the case. With the modern day saddles now that are adjustable, you know, the other thing I hear is, well, I don't want to get a new saddle because he's going to change shape. As we've already discussed, the horses change. Well, again, I think with our saddles that are adjustable, you can have a correctly fitted saddle on a young horse that's starting work, and that saddle can follow that horse for a period of time and have various levels of adjustment with the adjustable gullet bars. So for me, loading the horse's back appropriately, i.e. saddle pressures, is really important. And I think just to give you some context, when we ride the horses in walk, the studies have shown it's around equivalent to the rider's body weight. In trot, it's equivalent to 2 times the rider's body weight. And when you get to the dizzy heights of cantering your young horse, it increases to 2.5 times. So if we think then that load is on the horse's back is asymmetrical, or indeed localized pressures, what is that young horse's experience coupled with everything else that's going on? And I think if we can reduce that negative effect, potential negative effect, then why would we not? So I am a real advocate of correctly fitting saddles on young horses to reduce the potential for long-term effect. But I haven't shown that, but in other studies we have shown the effect that saddle pressures have, so I can't see why it would be any different to the young horse.
Yeah, no, very good points there. And I think obviously, number one, those pressures, that's going to have a mental toll as well. If you're, if the horse is in pain, it's going to start to go like, actually, I don't want to work today. Not feeling that, because this is going to hurt me. And I guess number two as well is the importance. We've mentioned the team around you is having a really trusted, well-qualified saddler in that mix as well, because as we've said, you know, that body is changing quite rapidly. We want these saddles adjusted so they fit. So having a saddler who can help you with that process is really, really important.
Yeah, having a qualified, again, going back to that team, and in the team is a qualified saddle fitter, it is essentially important that, you know, I think as horse owners, we have the saddle checked and, you know, it needs to be rechecked, certainly, particularly in all horses, but the young horse that is changing shape and body posture. And we only have to look at, we're coming into the spring now, they're going to go beyond the grass, they're going to change shape again. So it's important that you know, to promote the long-term soundness and the optimize the well-being, mental capacity and stability for the horse, it's that team is so important.
Yeah, and I know watching you at squad training with our guys, where it's, you know, we've got you, we've got the saddlers, we've got the physios, we've got the farriers, they're all in together. It looks like a Formula One pit stop. It's really quite amazing. And obviously, not everyone at home can replicate that in realistically, but having your practitioners communicate with each other as well as with you, I think, is quite important as well. I know we did an episode of the podcast last Equine Health Week with Mark Fisher and Ben Benson, who are a saddler and a farrier respectively on our World Class program, who Russell does a lot of work with, particularly Mark, you with all this saddle research. You two have worked very closely together, and that's a really interesting insight into how your practitioners can work together. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you didn't catch it last year, because it is a very interesting listen. We've covered quite a lot of information here in quite a rapid space of time, but have you got any kind of any parting thoughts or last messages that you want to leave with our listeners today on this subject?
Yeah, I think just to really reiterate, you know, the when you've got a young horse, not just to be thinking, I've got to ride the young horse, to talk with your team, surround yourself with a team, and what else can you do to condition the horse? Riding, absolutely. But, you know, when we think about our week, what does that week look like for the horse? You might only ride it twice a week, but it might go in the arena and do some other stuff, pole work exercise. I really feel strongly that having that team around you and the horse is a really positive step to safeguard the horse and safeguard yourself, to reduce the risk of, you know, challenges that might just arise. And I think being mindful that we tend to, with our young horses, go in the arena, but the more we can cross train our horses, the better. And putting them on different surfaces, and as I said at the very beginning, horses that can be out in the paddocks with their friends interacting, I think is a really positive thing for the horses. And then just that last bit we talked about is really the need for correct equipment, and we talked about the saddle, but mustn't forget about the girth and also the bridle and the bit for your young horse. That equally needs to be considered. And we're so lucky now with the advances in technology, but also the advances in research. We know so much more, although we still do need to learn more. But, you know, we have bridle fitters now and bit specialists. So, you know, reach out to them to discuss your young horse, and that would be my, I suppose, my takeaway message is reach out to people that have worked with young horses and seek their guidance and reassurance and confidence to help safeguard the horse.
Brilliant. Thank you, Russell. And if people do want to delve a bit more into this, obviously we've talked about the importance of getting those experts around you. Are there any other resources out there that people can look at or find to get a bit more information?
Yeah, there was a really good conference last year from the British Horse Foundation, and you've already mentioned one of your contributors. Brad was speaking there last year, I think it was. And I actually would go and look at that resource quite and listen quite intently, because they really covered the young horse and talked. There was talks on saddlery, and Pippa Funnel was talking about how they manage their young horses. So that would be a resource that I would definitely signpost people to. The British Horse Society, of course, I would signpost people to. But also just, you know, have a look online at the good resources, and send emails, ask people questions. And I think people would be only too happy to offer their advice and thoughts to help you on your way.
Brilliant. Thank you, Russell. And we will include links to both that British Horse Foundation conference and the British Horse Society website on the Equine Health Week hub on the British Equestrian website, which you can find at www.britishequestrian.org.uk, along with all the other resources we've covered this week. All the podcast episodes will be there as well, and what we've been putting out on social media. So it really is a one-stop shop for everything Equine Health Week 2025. Thank you so much, Russell, for giving up your time today to come and talk to us. It's been really interesting, and I hope everyone listening agrees with me there, because there's a lot here. It's such a crucial point in our horses' lives, and there's so many things we can do right, and there are so many things we can do wrong, and hopefully this has set people on the right track to a long-term career for their horse and a happy athlete at the end of it. So thank you very much.